So good evening again, and it's so wonderful to be here with you. Thank you so much for coming here tonight. And this is our third talk in a series that we're doing on powerfulness. And I invite you always to see those two words as two words, powerfulness. And we're here not to be overpowering or to be powerless, but to be powerful and to shine the radiant sun of our being. And that's what we've been talking about this month. And so I want to begin where I left off last week. And what I said last week was that if we really knew that God is all, if we really knew that this is a spiritual universe, that the kingdom or the domain of spirit has been created, if we really knew that our divinity or God in us is really the only power and presence active in our lives, we would have no trouble seeing love. And we would have no trouble bringing forth love as the truth of our being and expressing it. And we would have no trouble talking about what we want and what we love instead of what we don't want and we don't love. And by the way, that was your practice for last week. I will accept reports. So, and that is the truth. If we really could see the reality of our being, if that was unveiled for us, it would be easy to see that all is love. And what I want to add into that tonight is just to say that if we could really feel that God is all there is and that the finished kingdom has been made, and if we could really feel that the truth of God in us or our divinity is the only power and presence active in our lives, then we would be taking that feeling and that truth and mixing it in every single thing that we do. We would be giving out from that reality all of the time, and I think life would be pretty amazing. What was that? Spectacular, in that quotation, that life would be spectacular. And the evolutionary path of our teaching seeks to lead us exactly there. So if you walk the path of this teaching long enough and you cross all the thresholds and you do what's asked of you by spirit, you know, to reveal the truth of your being, you'll get there. I believe we will get there. And that we will see this reality unveiled, the truth of your being unveiled, radiant in your mind, embodied in your being, and fully expressed. What do you think? How does that sound to you? Truth of spirit revealed. So this week on Facebook, there was a little roomy quote. There's a group of Emma Curtis Hopkins students up in Seattle who post to something called community spiritual practice. And this little roomy quote was on there. And I offer this to any of you who were ever told by anyone that you were the problem. Can anybody relate to that? I've received that message a few times, that you were the problem they were having. Yes. You suppose you are the trouble, but you are the cure. You suppose that you are the lock on the door, but you are the key that opens it. It's too bad that you want to be someone else. You don't see your own face, your own beauty, yet no face is more beautiful than yours. Want to hear it again? Say yes. Okay, good. You suppose that you are the trouble, but you are the cure. You suppose that you are the lock on the door, but you are the key that opens it. It's too bad that you want to be someone else. You don't see your own face, your own beauty, yet no face is more beautiful than yours. So it's easy to think in life that we're the problem if people are telling us that, especially when really the truth is we're each the solution. And what we bring forth from the truth of our being is the answer to any question. And it is the answer to any situation that's going on, because whatever we bring forward is an act of love or self-givingness, and love is always the answer. Love is always the answer. So I wanted to share with you that I think it was 2007, 2008, I took a group of people to Turkey and Syria, and Blake Harper, sitting over there, was on the journey with me, and Joe Murray, who's speaking here on Sunday, was also in that trip. His mom and sis are here, and we had a wonderful guide. We were part of what's called the Abraham Path Initiative. This is not Abraham Hicks. This is an initiative created by Bill Urey out of Harvard University to help create a pilgrimage path in the footsteps of the prophet Abraham. So that's just a short version of that. And in Syria, we had a wonderful guide by the name of Nabil. And Nabil loves everything New Thought. We were a group of religious scientists, save for one, by the way, practicing religious scientists. And Nabil is filled with everything New Thought. He loves Oprah. He loves Eckhart Tolle. You know, he reads, he's a prolific reader. He loves Deepak Chopra. He loves them all of them. And he speaks their language all of the time. He is this irrepressible fountain of New Thought one-liners, right? And we were all, and he's so effervescent and irrepressibly positive. We happened to be in Damascus the day the U.S. bombed over the borders into Syria, and President Assad gave everybody the day off, and there was a government-sponsored demonstration. He's quite the puppet master. And everybody was let out from work and let out from school, and they demonstrated, and then they ended up in the cafes, and we were out there with them too, but we were pretending not to be Americans. So, and I think I've shared this before here, perhaps. And so we were running around trying to be Canadians instead of being Americans because we weren't sure. We were afraid. And we had Nabil speaking to us our own principles about not giving in to fear and not attracting by fear. So it was great. So we've been concerned about Nabil because he was in Syria. And all of us in our group have wanted to email him, but we didn't want to compromise him in any way. And one of our group finally got a hold of him, and I emailed him too, and so did Blake over there. And I want to share with you what Nabil had to say. "It was with happy sorrow I said goodbye to all of you 2008 at Damascus Airport. I had chosen to be positive results-oriented. You all left on board the same flight. I accompanied you on my flying carpet of love. I have just read beautiful words by my lovely friend, Mother Teresa. Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. I focus on the presence wisdom of three doctors, Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merriman." I like that. Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merriman. "The whole universe of beauties and miracles resonate within our conscious awareness of heart, soul, mind, body, holistic paradigm. The age of wisdom, peace, love is present now. If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." That's Mother Teresa quotation. "Dear Kathy, you and I feel the pains of all the Syrians. We leave Syria to our growing the eternal now of love, peace, consciousness under the same sky of rising joy of wonders." And he signed it the Sheikh of Love, Nabil. And then when I emailed him today and said that I was going to be speaking to all of you about him, he wrote this: "You and I and all the people do believe alone we do very little. With the magic now here power of love, we do miracles together in the rising joy of human orchestra, dancing, singing, and laughing, and creating all joy, beauty. We are all connected. We are all one. I am on my flying carpet to reach you and all the people listening to your golden nuggets of happy light wisdom overflowing with tears of joy, Nabil." And I share this with you because what I love about the guy is that he chooses and expresses what is true for him, what he feels to be true. And our talk for tonight is, it's in the feeling, so I want to focus in on feeling. He chooses what he will feel, and then he expresses what he feels to be true. And he does it in such a powerful way that he creates what he feels to be true as his reality. By the way, he's safely in Dubai. He's been in Dubai since January, working there as a guide, although his family is still in Damascus. So I want to focus in on feeling with you tonight. And if you look up feeling in the dictionary, there's actually a lot of definitions, but the ones that are most relevant to us is that to feel means to have an awareness of an inward impression or state of mind or physical condition, and feeling means emotion or sensibilities. And we in Science of Mind talk forever about thoughts and consciousness, because that's what we're about, that's the science of mind, and yet it is our feelings that actually give the oomph, that word you will not find in the textbook, the oomph to our thoughts and actually bring them into being. It's the felt sense of something in you that actually manifests. When you have a felt sense of something to be true, whether it's positive or negative, that is what shows up in your experience. Rhonda Byrne says, if thoughts and words are the rocket ship, our feelings are the fuel. Our feelings are the fuel. And so we can think a lot of things, we can wish a lot of things, but what we actually feel to be true for us, whether positive or negative, is what is going to manifest. And so Rhonda Byrne says, how you feel in any one moment is more important than anything else, because how you feel is now creating your life. How you feel in any one moment is more important than anything else, because how you feel is now creating your life. I offer you these ideas to see if they're true for you. But here's an example. If you're on the job and you think, I can't stand my boss, in the thought is some really intense negative feeling, and you're giving out that negative feeling, and chances are the relationship is going to get worse, right? It's pretty hard to have an improved relationship with when you're thinking, I can't really stand this person. But if, on the other hand, you think, wow, I work with really with some wonderful people. I work with some wonderful people, whether your boss is included in that or not. In that thought, I work with some wonderful people, is a positive feeling that you're putting out, and chances are the relationships are going to get better. Make sense? And it's true in any relationship. There's much more of a chance of having a happy relationship with your mate if you are not focusing on what you find wrong all the time. You know, people are really, or let me say it more positively, there's a much greater chance of having a happy relationship with your partner or your mate if you're shifting your focus to see all the things that you love. And that's what you're talking about most of the time. And, you know, people are extremely complex. And what we tend to do is to distill them down into one or two characteristics upon which we project error and then blame them for it. Did you follow that? Yeah? I thought you might laugh at that, but it is kind of serious stuff, isn't it? We distill people down. We diminish people into a few characteristics, project error on them, and then make them wrong for it. And yet people are complex things. There are many more things to see and to love. And the understanding here is that whatever we feel is affirmed both by and in our experience. It's in the feeling. It's in the feeling. So feelings can be positive or negative, right? Good feelings, Rhonda Byrne would say, come from love. When we're loving and self-giving, we have good feelings. Negative feelings come from a lack of love. The better you feel, the more you give out from love, the more positive impact you're having, the more love you're going to receive, and the better life gets. Should I run that down again? The more love that you are expressing, the more positive energy you're putting out, the more positive energy is going to come back to you, and better life gets. However, if you are feeling worse, the worse you feel, the more you're in despair, the more negativity you're putting out and impacting things in that way, and chances are there's a greater negativity coming back to you, and life is getting worse. And what's interesting is we try to work it the other way. We think that something has happened that we don't feel good about. Something happens and we don't feel good. When truly, because we don't feel good, something happens. And so it's to see the cycle in a different way. She says, how you feel in any moment is a precise measure of what you are giving out in that moment. This is an aha. However you feel in any moment is a precise measure of what you've been giving out. For example, how you feel about any aspect of your life is a precise measure of what you've been giving out about that aspect of your life. So somebody who is feeling badly about money because they don't have enough money is, chances are, receiving negative circumstances that will continue for them not having, because we get what we give. Does that make sense? If we're not feeling good about money, we will tend to generate the experiences and the circumstances that allow us to not feel good about money. And we want to say, because this thing happened, because I don't have enough money, I'm feeling badly. I invite you to look at it from the reverse if this is an issue. It's you don't have enough money because you're feeling badly about it. It's really hard to have something thrive or call something to us when we don't have good feelings about it. It just doesn't work very well that way. If we start feeling good about money and blessing it and using it cheerfully, blessing what we have and using it cheerfully, chances are that will reorient. Back in the day, the early days of my Science of Mind awakening, there was a speaker by the name of Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike was really an over-the-top speaker, and he would have, it was the high prosperity days of the 80s, and he would have whole rooms full of people stand up and say, "I love money, and money loves me." You know, it was so in your face. It was completely obnoxious. completely. And yet he was right. We have a much better chance of having a transformed relationship with money if we can have some positive feelings about it than if we're always having negative feelings about it. It's a spiral down. And I think that the same thing goes on with relationship. If there's a thought, if there's a felt sense of, you know, relationships don't really work, they don't really work for me, can't meet anybody, there's nobody out there for me, how can it work? How can it work? We cannot attract what is unlike our thoughts. Or to say it differently, we attract exactly what is like our thoughts and our feelings. Neville Goddard, be careful of your moods and feelings, for there is an unbroken connection between your feelings and your visible world. Be careful of your moods and feelings, for there is an unbroken connection between your feelings and your visible world. If you want to know what you're creating, it's contained in what you're feeling right now. Right now. Now, let me just go on record to say that I am a fan of feeling my feelings when they arise and whatever they are as they arise. And this has been a really important step for me in my life. It's been a big step to actually acknowledge to myself what it is that I'm feeling, to tell the truth to myself. And then it's another whole big step to communicate that to somebody else. But I'm the one who really needs to know what I feel, right? So I understand the value and the importance of feeling, and I think it's important to feel them as they arise. They contain very important information. They contain really important information about our current state and also about the thoughts that are behind the feelings. And so we can do the work to say, okay, what's sourcing this feeling for me? I also will tell you that I've had times when I was absolutely submerged in my feelings and could not get out of them. And really long time, too. Long times. And yet, there came a day when I got sick and tired, as Waylon Jennings says, sick and tired of waking up sick and tired. You know that song? So when I got tired of feeling that way, and that is the moment when the power to generate feelings kicks in. There comes a fine time when we're just tired of feeling badly, and we do not want to do it again. And then we become open to the power of generating our feelings. Yes? I'm not talking about that right now, but let me see if I can get there, okay? Thank you. I love audience participation. This is cool. Could we shift into a class? That'd be great. I think that we play victim to our feelings sometimes. That we pretend that, or we say that we can't do anything about how we feel. I can't do anything about that. That we feel the way that we feel, as if there is no way to generate something else. Now, I have high regard for brain chemistry issues. I really do. And when somebody has a brain chemistry disruption or disorder, It is very hard to monitor feelings or change feelings. But if you're not in that state, you have something you can do about any feeling state that you are in. There is always a way to get up and go do something else. There is always a way to generate a different feeling at a higher frequency, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Part of powerfulness is the ability to generate our feelings. It is to generate our feelings along the lines of our friend Nabil. It is to decide what it is that you want to feel and then work with yourself to get to that place. Rhonda Byrne says, take your feelings off automatic pilot. They are not just responses and reactions, even though we treat them that way. Like something good happens, we feel good, or something not good happens, we feel not good. The reverse is true. Something not good happens because you don't feel good. And something good happens because you've been practicing feeling good. She would have us know that feelings are the cause of our experience, not the result. And it's very hard to see the spiral of that or the cycle of that. But chances are a negative feeling that comes up for you had its seed a long time before. And very often with our feelings, they're just default settings. We just plug right in. I watched something so old come up the other day, I could hardly believe it. Really old and really tender. But it was from another time. And yet there it was. It was the feeling that I defaulted to. We can get trapped in a cycle of our own feelings, thinking that the outside is making us feel the inside, when really the inside is creating the outside. I just invite you to consider that. Ernest Holmes says, know your own mind. Train yourself to think what you wish to think, to be what you wish to be, to feel what you wish to feel, and place no limit on principle. Know your own mind. Train yourself to think what you wish to think, to be what you wish to be, to feel what you wish to feel, and place no limit on spirit. So it seems to me that generating feelings has two aspects to it. One is choosing whether you're going to be on the plus side or the minus side, and it's a choice. And the second thing is changing the frequency of your thought. Around the first one, you have a choice every single morning. Am I going to go out in the world and be fabulous? By the way, that's my advice to my daughter whenever she goes through a relationship breakup. Go out in the world and be fabulous, and she does, and pretty soon she has a new boyfriend. I'll have to try that advice myself. Are you going to go out in the world and be fabulous? Are you going to schlep around all day and poor me? What's it going to be? The choice is absolutely yours, and you set the choice early in the morning, early in the morning. We also have the ability to change the frequency of our feelings. Our feelings have different frequencies, like wave frequencies. And I have a little chart here that came out of Rhonda Byrne's book. Where is it? And if anybody wants it, you can have it. You cannot even begin to see this, but there it is. And this information I'm about to say is similar to David Hawkins' power versus force kind of idea. But she's saying that our feelings have different frequencies, and at the top is love, high frequency, and at the bottom is fear, low frequency. Going from the top to the bottom, but up in the positive range, it's love, gratitude, joy, passion, excitement, enthusiasm, hope, satisfaction, everything above the line. So both love and satisfaction are on the positive side, but there's a much higher frequency to love that I bet you can feel. To be satisfied is different than to love. Going down the scale below the line, boredom, irritation, disappointment, worry, criticism, anger, hate, envy, guilt, despair, fear. And it's a question, what frequency are you broadcasting on? Is it above the line, below the line? Is it in the positive scale? Is it in the negative scale? What is it? You have choice. You can raise the frequency just by being aware of it, by doing something to raise yourself up to a higher state, to go from satisfaction to hope, to enthusiasm, and all the way up to love. Of course, you won't know this is true until you actually try it. The next time you're in a blah state, go do something to raise your vibration. How about that? There are infinite levels of good feelings. I remember years ago, Terry Cole Whitaker said there are infinite levels of happiness, and I believe that she was right. There are also infinite levels of bad feelings. You choose. Which one do you want? Which place do you want to go? Change is possible. All we have to do is tip the scale. All you have to do is manifest 51% positive. 51%, and you'll be moving in the right direction. And every morning, you stand at the tipping point of your life. Every single morning when you wake up, what will it be? Which one is it going to be? Which side of the scale will you be on? So Rhonda Byrne has some suggestions for eliminating bad feelings. She says that when you have a bad feeling, put love in. And she said, think about love as water in a glass, and the glass is your body. And when the glass has only a little bit of water, it is empty of love. And you cannot change the water level by waging war on the emptiness. You cannot change the water level by waging war on the emptiness or trying to rip out the emptiness. The emptiness goes by filling the glass with water, by filling yourself with love, by doing something that is an act of self-givingness, by doing something that expresses a positive feeling towards someone else. Because the minute you express a positive feeling, you're going to be feeling better. That is the way that it goes. It's just that we don't always work with ourselves about this. Or she says, think of your bad feelings as a flock. What are they called? A herd of wild horses. A herd of wild horses. And there's the grumpy horse and the cranky horse and the disappointed horse and whatever else you get yourself into. Just don't get on the horse. Don't get on that horse. And if you find yourself on the horse, get off the horse and get on to something else. These are the ways that we work with ourselves about our feelings. You are not condemned to be in a bad feeling state for the rest of your life. You have the ability to generate your feelings, to raise your frequency, to do something for someone else. I just want to move toward the end here by saying that feelings are really crucial for manifesting good. And we know that when we want to manifest something, when we want to bring something into being, the first step is to imagine it, to spend time mentally conceiving of the thing that you want and make the picture as full and complete as possible. I love the practice of writing out an ideal scene. Like, what is my here's my ideal scene for my life, written in the present tense. So you see it all the way. And then the next thing to do is to feel love for what you are imagining. Love this good that you're claiming for yourself. Love it with all of your heart and want it with all of your heart. And then the last thing to do is to get it in your body and to feel that it is so. To start feeling that this good that you are claiming for yourself is in fact already so. It's what I would call living in the "and so it is." Ernest Holmes says, when we treat, we do not wish, we know. We do not dream, we state. We do not hope, we accept. We do not beg, we announce. We do not accept something is going to happen, we believe or feel that it has already happened. It's about living in the "and so it is." To get the felt sense that that which I have claimed for myself, that I love with all my heart, that I want with all my heart, I accept that it's already done. And then the delicious time of waiting begins. And that's next week's talk. So take a moment and close your eyes. And I know that just by the grace of God and by the power of our own intelligence, that that which is needed to be known tonight is known. And that all this torrent of words settles into each consciousness here, supporting the fullness of realization, the fullness of loving, the fullness of living. What we're talking about is that we have the power to feel as we choose, to spread love wherever we go, to lift our vibration, to generate it at exactly the level that we want. And all it takes is a start. That we choose to feel what we want to feel and broadcast that powerfully and beautifully as an act of love, an act of self-givingness. And so I invite you to take a moment just to breathe into your heart center. And to find there something that you would like to bring into being, a high-level good that is your heart's desire. Without judging it on any level, just let your awareness of it open up to see a full scene of yourself being it or doing it, having it, living it. And just ask your heart if this is what it really wants, without any doubt or fear or resistance. And if the answer is yes, then allow yourself to open up to the felt sense that it is already done. That in the claiming of the good, the mental act, the mental creation is complete. And so feel this coming into your body in some felt way, some embodied way of certainty. And your only job is to know it and to feel it, to know that it is done without deviation. And to trust divine order and action in the bringing it forth from your felt sense of yes into manifestation. And if you wonder what to practice, the thing to practice is thank you, God, it is done. Thank you, God, it is done. Say that with me. Thank you, God, it is done. And so I accept that these high ideas of good are now coming forth into expression in the life of each one of us. That we allow ourselves to live in the "and so it is." As we think about that which we desire, we continue to love it with our hearts and accept that it is done and watch for the unfoldment. And so I give thanks that this is so. Right now, I release this word, and together we say, "And so it is. Amen."